America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most. Joining me as always is Felipe Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. So this episode is going to be for June 12th, 2020. It's basically week two of the American spring. And, you know, you'd think that after the first week, things couldn't really escalate further, but they did. The only difference, though, is that it was our side that managed to escalate things, because we've actually managed to accomplish some stuff. Yeah. Some things that are actually far-reaching and incredible, in at least some cases, very revolutionary. Basically, what it shows is that mass mobilization and the threat of riots get shit done.
But
that doesn't mean, of course, that the other side wasn't doing awful shit, because they still were, and they're still, I mean, they're kind of flailing at it now, because, let's be honest, the whole culture has kind of changed in the last couple of weeks, and because of that, some folks still haven't gotten the memo.
Yeah.
And others are just really stubborn and don't want to quite let shit go. But we'll be getting to all that later on. Some of you probably also know we had some primary elections. We had a primary here in Georgia in particular. That went off about as well as you would expect it did. So much so that we've actually got a whole story about it.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah. But there was some good news that came out of that, too, and I'll reveal what it is later on. But before we get into all that shit, and fortunately it's not quite as heavy an episode as it was last week.
Yeah.
But before we go any further, let's start off, as we always do, with all the shit we've been up to this week. So we'll start off with Phil. Phil, what have you been doing this week?
So for me, this week was kind of a week of decisions. I've just been mulling over this whole decision for basically since the beginning of 2020. And the problem when you, like, continually mull over one decision for the better part of a year is that it starts to become kind of like a cancer and really starts messing with your mood.
Yeah.
So that's been going on. So finally, this week, I finally did come to that decision. And, well, I guess I'll announce it. But at the end of June, I'll be leaving Smashpad. Not for any reason, like nothing of you guys or anything like that. It's just I need to start taking better care of myself and trying to improve my situation a little bit here. And it's just... Yeah, it's one of those things where, as much as I love to work with you guys, just came to a point where the stuff I was doing on the site and the responsibility that I had, it was starting to become too much for me. So, kind of got to step away from that and just basically focus on myself for a little bit, and hopefully things will improve from there. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we're behind you 120% of the way too. You got to take care of yourself. Yeah.
All of the love and support from us.
Yeah. You're leaving the site in good hands. Don't worry about it.
And now that's not to say that I'm going to be slacking for the next 3 weeks. Because hell no, I ain't going to do you like that. So yeah. I'm here. I'm present until the end. And let's get going. But beyond that, so I've been playing some random games. What's his face there? Samurai Showdown Neo Geo Collection came out on Epic Game Store, and I had a chance to take a look at that. The translations are actually quite good. But I think, you know, Neo Geo emulation at this point is pretty much a solved thing, so it's kind of hard to screw that up. Haven't put a lot of time into Sam Show 5 Perfect yet, but I intend to, because it's very intriguing that it even exists.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And how did we not even know about it? Like. Yeah.
It's like, the ROMs never showed up. It was like something either that never got released or was in the planning stages and they finally got around to actually, you know, finishing it, which...
Was Oda just sifting through files that, you know, from before R&D, before SNK sold off to Aruze, and, oh, hey, yeah, we were working on this.
Yeah. So, but it's here.
Guys, look what I found.
Yeah. Like the whole planning document. Oh, and some ROMs. We never got to release this? Oh, we should probably do something about that. So that's been good. Interesting that it came out on Epic Game Store first, but, you know, Epic is throwing money around left, right, and center, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. But yeah,
it's, and for the best price of all.
Yeah, free for this week, so go get it.
Is this the Samurai Showdown, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, is this the point in the game where they suddenly have the huge ogre demon as one of the choosable characters, the one that takes up like half the screen, or is that later?
No, Kusari Gedo is there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in there. So, but you also get all of the other ones from 1 through 5, 3 versions of 5. So.
Yeah.
And,
unfortunately, this also isn't the one where Andrew makes an addition. He doesn't show up until I think the next game.
Yeah. Nope.
So. And that was actually the first Atomos and only Atomos Wave installment.
Yeah. Mm. So, been enjoying that. I'm still, of course, playing PC Building Simulator to wind down my evenings, and I've kind of been needing that lately, so that's been good. Yeah, I've just taken to making random, just themed PC builds and free build, and just having fun with that. So that's been good. And beyond that, I've been trying not to melt because we've kind of had a combination of heat and humidity over the past week that's kind of been really irritating and sticky. And it's like when you get up in the morning and you like have to peel yourself off the bed, that's usually not a good sign. So, yeah, that's been very, very interesting. And, well, and by interesting, I mean you. Yeah. So that's pretty much been my week. How about you, Pat?
I've been... Honestly, apart from our mini E3 that we had the other day, or yesterday, I guess it was, I don't know, I've been on vacation all week because I had put in for the E3 week off and never decided to go back on it, which has really fucked with my comprehension of time. Apart from, you know... Apart from the Sony show yesterday and, you know, the gaming that I fit in between naps, most of my focus has actually been on the stock market and just seeing what I can do there. I'm definitely learning the ropes very quickly, and it's going to sound fucking weird, but it really is Street Fighter. That's all it is. It's execution. It's making reads. It's, you know, the key difference is you're not watching character models or sprites on a screen. You're watching the news. You're watching trends. Just the core philosophy is so similar that it just comes natural to me. And it's really a new skill that I'm having a fantastic time picking up. If I'd known it was like this, I would have done it sooner. Other than that, I too am trying not to melt. I think I'm going to have to get this air conditioner installed here pretty soon because fuck this shit. Utah summers are no joke and they absolutely suck. And I really don't.
Is it humid as well as hot?
It comes and goes, and you have to consider that I live along a river.
So,
Utah, well, northern Utah as a whole is a high altitude desert. So we get the most severe of all seasons. You add the fact that I live along a river and you just kind of, you know, when the river fails to cool things off sufficiently, for the heat to not be a factor, you definitely pay it up with interest. So I'm definitely going to be getting this air conditioner set up and ready to go pretty soon, because I can't do that. I can't do another summer of this without an AC. And other than that, I'm just kind of unsuccessfully coping with the end of my vacation here. It's a lot easier to go back to work at my current job than it was at Walmart, but I just got so much done on this particular vacation that going back to the day-to-day grind is going to kind of suck, but I'll manage. It's just, it's life when you get down to it. But that's been it for me.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
We are still rolling along on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And all right,
which movie are you on now?
We finished up Guardians of the Galaxy 2 last night.
All right.
So that's where we left off. Shoot, I forgot what he said was next. Well, anyway, we're not going to watch it tonight. So
Ant-Man?
No, we did that one. And then he was in
I think it's War Thor.
I think it is one of the Thor ones that comes next. Scott knows.
Yeah.
He's got it all planned out, because one of his friends gives him a ton of shit about us being so behind on these movies. But, I mean, you know, life happens, right? So we've been doing that, and I was playing a kind of sick amount of Final Fantasy, but I was not doing
You didn't tell me.
Dungeons. Yeah, I thought I did. I was doing a lot of mining.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. I can't help you with that.
Yeah, but I did run, I think about 4 or 5 of them to try to clear out my my duty roster, because it was pretty unbelievable. The amount of stuff that I still needed to do. And then I didn't touch Animal Crossing this week until about 2 hours ago. So, yeah, I think we're getting to that point where I've played the shit out of it, and I had to take a break for a while. But other than that, I've been fooling around with expensive toys. You guys... Like, I need to not have unemployment money and live so close to a micro center.
Oh.
What did you do?
I bought an iPad Pro with a $300 Magic Keyboard, and it is already boxed up to return to micro center tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it was like $1,250 after tax. It was insanely expensive. The keyboard is nice. I gotta tell you that. They did a really fine job with this. And for people who are paying for Apple stuff, are they gonna let $300 or $350 get between them and an iPad Pro being a laptop experience? Nah, they're not going to. And that's okay if they got the money to burn. I'm just pissy that all of the laptops that I want to buy are out of stock. Or that the prices have been jacked up like 30%, like we were talking earlier, with everybody working from home and global supply chain issues. There's a big issue with electronics.
Yeah.
Especially
flash memory, which we'll be talking about Sunday.
Oh, shit. I better make sure I'm stocked up, huh? But I have... like $625 worth of parts in my micro center cart. And I may be building a quick down and dirty computer for my kids. So, I can retrieve my laptop because it hurts. He was playing out here in the living room earlier and he dropped my Razer Blade Pro twice within 5 minutes and it just went crashing onto the floor. And I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But yeah, we've been playing with that, and then we also got a new stereo receiver, you know, home theater one, and we hooked that up, and I got it on the cheap because I got it off Amazon Warehouse. It was an open box thing. But for the amount of money that we put into that, I'm disappointed with the sound. So, yeah, we'll see. Scott just dragged home a sound bar that I said I wasn't going to do. Lee Lamb will remember me being very vocal about that. But he just walked in the door and plopped it in the floor because it was half price at a Best Buy about 30 miles from here. And he drove all the fuck the way up there and got it and came back.
He knows it won't work from the floor, right?
Yeah. I think he's just dropping it because he's got to go use the bathroom. That's a long drive.
Perfectly valid.
Yeah, but that's really about it, and still looking for a job and dealing with the fucking refinance on the condo. And it's actually been a fairly stress-free week, though, other than, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no big complaints here, and the weather is super nice tonight. But we'll get nailed again, don't you guys worry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And, all right, what about you, Chris?
Yeah, like everybody else, I've been cooking nicely out in the sun.
Yeah.
Getting nice charred skin. Yeah, I was outside the entire weekend through Tuesday. And those last 2 days particularly were 90+. And I think Tuesday especially, when I looked at my Weather Channel app, is saying, feels like 94. For a good bit, which was like, all right, that's a bit too much. A certain point where you kind of can't tell if your skin is just hot because it's fucking hot as hell and the humidity is like 45-50%, or if it's because it's actually burning. So I think I had like one little spot on the other side of my arm, but otherwise not too much, though my legs just turn a little bit red in the sun when I'm running around a lot. Which causes people to be like, oh, look, your legs are burning. It's like, no, they're not. It's fine. You know, I get home, there's nothing. There's no itchiness or pain or anything. So it's like, I need to get people to stop fucking commenting about my legs. Because it's just annoying. It's like, when it's your body, you can do whatever you want, but it's mine. I know it better than you. Leave me alone, basically. But yeah. It's been all right. Been outside, but now it's much cooler here the past couple days. So I think it's like 70 right now. So that's about perfect before it goes back up again, I think, next week. But yeah, I had some fun on Sunday trying to get home from work where they closed my exit off the highway. But don't put the sign that it's going to – that it's warning you that it's closed to like – way after the previous exit. So like, I should have figured it out when there's a bunch of people backed up. But I was like, oh, that could be just because they've closed like lanes on the other part of the highway. It's not exiting before. So it's always a crapshoot. Yeah, it just caused annoyance. Like an extra 10 minutes to get back home than I should have, but they seem to be done there, I think. I think they're basically just repaving the part of the street, the highway there. It's like, why are you doing that in the afternoon of a Sunday? Why not do that in the middle of the night, like you usually do, where there's less traffic, instead of like 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon? But yeah, it's okay, but... yeah, I've been watching some stuff this week. She-Ra, I am about halfway through season 5.
Oh, yeah.
The final season, and it's getting pretty good. I can definitely see where they're heading towards the end. I already know like one major thing because people talked about it on social media and all that.
Yeah.
That are heavy about a show being, you know, so queer.
Yeah.
And reveling in it a bit. So, yeah. Still a lot of fun here, but finished up Fuller House the last few episodes of that to the finale, which is pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
Ends pretty well, and then has a couple surprises right at the end. I'm not going to spoil it. It's just like things to tie it up.
Oh.
And I way like send characters off on a good note.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a good bit where they people go up to the attic where they have like stuff from the original series,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that, where the kids talk about, it's like, oh, they got these weird, really tightly cut home movies mm-hmm. from what you know, our parents were doing back in the 90s, 30 years ago, whatever. And I was like, oh, that's a weird way to put that, but sure. To make the show like, oh, these are their home movies.
Oh.
Except they're produced, highly produced, like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But then they see what used to be Michelle's bike. Like, oh, is she ever going to come and get this? And it's like the second to last episode, I think. It's like, mm-hmm. well, if she hasn't come back now, she's never going to come back. Just basically taking a shit on the Olsen twins for not wanting to be back on the show,
mm-hmm.
even for a little bit. Just one little jab in there to get back at them. But, yeah, it ends pretty nicely. And, yeah, the one weird thing about this, so they filmed these five seasons over, like, 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids have definitely grown up. The middle kid, who is very much like a little kid, you know, high-pitched voice.
Mm-hmm.
And in this final season, he's starting to go through puberty, so he's got a deeper voice.
Oh.
Even a little bit deeper than his older brother. Mm. Who's like on his way to like junior, senior, or high school
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But yeah. They ended at a pretty good point where, you know, those kids haven't like grown so rapidly, but the way they deal with the time is just, it's the current time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not really too much being like, oh, you know, you're a 17-year-old, but you look like you're supposed to be 15, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Like they have an issue with Stranger Things a little bit. But, yeah, that's been what I've been watching. I was kind of watching some Godzilla earlier, the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Oh.
That is a fun little movie, especially when they're talking about, well, New Yorkers, you know, there's no crime anymore, and then Godzilla just comes stomping through all mm-hmm. this shit, and the mayor's all mad because his election's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
He's mad that he's going to lose the election because Godzilla's come to town and wrecked things, and then the military comes in and is like, oh yeah, we got this shit, we know what we're doing, and then they just get fucked up by Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to put them all in their places. So you ain't getting nothing out of this fucking giant lizard thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as for games, been really putting a good bit of time into The Last of Us, and I just hit a big moment in the story where a big whoopsie doodle just happened for a character.
Now, how far are you into the game, actually?
It's winter.
Oh, okay.
Started that. The cutscene for that.
Yeah, I know where you are then.
Yeah, a certain character has a big whoopsie doodle, and some shit happens.
Yeah, and keep in mind in that world, a big whoopsie doodle can almost be fatal. So
yeah, there's lots.
They're kind of out of commission for a while. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, this is the thing that one of the only things I've had spoiled about this game.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and yeah, it's like, all right, that's a little bit different than what I was expecting, but that makes sense for the way people talk about this this whole thing. But yeah, it's gotten a lot better as it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
As you sort of round out your inventory, your arsenal of weapons, and get them upgraded and all that, make them a lot better,
mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. So you have more options when it comes to taking out enemies, mm-hmm. whether they're humans or clickers, that kind of thing. And yeah, so early on, it's very much kind of a horror game because you're going into these very dark areas with the clickers, and you're not sure exactly what your capabilities are and what their capabilities are yet. That kind of thing. But once you start, like, I can mod my melee weapons to give them like 2 extra hits that are kind of instant kills of those for the first 2, depending on the weapon. Like, that's really nice. Though when I do it on a weapon that has like one or two more hits left, it's like, oh, that's maybe a bit of a waste, but at least get a couple more hits out of it. That kind of thing. But yeah, still not much of a fan of the bow. Mm. It's still kind of too unwieldy for the clickers, but, and yeah, I think.
Well, everything's unwieldy when it comes to the clickers. That's why they're so goddamn terrifying.
Yeah, it's just, bow, you're generally trying to aim for the head for one-shot kills. And
yeah, but that's not much of a factor with the clickers, is it?
Yeah, they're too shaky for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The humans are a bit more easy to do that, but then also I end up just doing more stealth more than anything, just mm-hmm. Stealth and melee mostly. Just run into a crowd, just fuck them up, and hope I don't get hurt too bad. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've been mostly full up on my materials for making stuff. Usually the one having to pass some things, but I'm on normal difficulty, so it's not too big of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
That they kind of give you a little bit more than you need, just in case you are a sloppier player or whatever. But yeah. And yeah, like, going with Ellie on the horse for that whole area and the university.
Yeah.
Kind of became clear that she is the... You ever played TF2 or Outs or Overwatch with their, like, payload mode?
Mm-hmm.
She is the payload.
Yeah.
She sits on the horse. And when you're going the right direction, she moves ahead. When you're not, she just stays. And you're like, okay, this is an important plot critical area. I'm going to go over here, and there's probably stuff over here. That kind of thing. And that's true when she's on her own as well. She'll wander around a little bit, but not really explore unless you are going the right direction. She's encouraged to move in the right place, in the right direction. But yeah, now I got a flamethrower, and so it's like, all right, this means I'm going to be fucking up some clickers if my stealth fails. So far, it's not been too bad. It's just this one area where they have a bunch of runners. And I happen to be walking with no cover as one passed by a window, and all of them came at me. I was like, all right, we'll try this flamethrower out now. And it works pretty well. Especially with those big dudes that have like the pustules on them you have to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
When you can just throw Molotovs or use the flamethrower on them, they go down much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Rather have to be very precise with them, but yeah, that's been pretty good. I think I'm nearing like the last like quarter, third of the game, something like that. Not too much more to go for that, so that's encouraging. I don't think I'm going to get to the expansion before the sequel comes out, but that's fine. Yeah, I think I have, looking at the list of chapters, I think I'm in the last like third of it, last 4 chapters, so. Not been too bad. And they do some good stuff with the encouraging you to explore, so you get like these manuals that upgrade your different tools, weapons for you, which is nice. Giving you like a variety of ways of upgrading your abilities and weapons and all that, which is nice. Hopefully, I think the melee is nice, but I hope the sequel is much better with that stuff. Because I have swung in empty air so many times instead of kind of, locking onto the other enemy.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of comical, they're swinging in one direction, I'm swinging in another, we both miss, and then we look like idiots.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of way. And some of the stealth can be a little bit unwieldy at times, but yeah. And I've been playing some more Assassin's Creed Odyssey, doing some stuff there. Like level 20 still, so working my way through that. And for whatever reason, I decided to buy Assassin's Creed Origins on PS4 because it was like $20 for the gold edition, and that is very much like a beta for Odyssey. Has a lot of the same mechanics, but they flesh them out in better ways for Odyssey. But I do like their way of improving your tools and gear through just having crafting materials to do it. Versus I think in Odyssey, it's a lot of just you get ability points to put on that stuff. But yeah, the setting's nice, being out in Egypt. And they're being a little bit more isolated, I guess, in areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a desert. There's people are not spread out as much as they are in, like, you know, on these islands in Greece, in and around Greece and all that,
mm-hmm.
Which is has its own nice flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Though there is definitely an issue with games like that when you get the gold edition, is that they give you a bunch of overpowered weapons up front, and it kind of ruins the balance a bit for the early parts of the game. Though Odyssey just foregoes that completely and just makes you overpowered for 90% of the game, where you have no problems really fucking people up. So yeah, that's been nice, just adding these super long games to my currently playing stuff, so I don't do anything else. And also been playing with Rocket League, doing some stuff there. And yeah, they talked a bit. They finally put out a statement, Cyanix did, for trying to be more stringent with their combating racism in their game. Their statement didn't really have too much in it other than just like, yeah, we're going to be paying more attention to the reports and being more willing to do permabans and such for the egregious stuff. Nothing really concrete, but they say they got some other stuff in the works, so hopefully that's some good stuff to stop people from creating all sorts of racist names and group names and all that kind of shit, and being able to type it. Because, you know, there's a lot of ways to say the N-word mm-hmm. if you're not too particular to just do the two basic spellings.
Yep.
A lot of ways to get around it if you have a keyboard, especially. So, yeah, it's a lot of these games have work to do on that front. But, yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. So I've basically, until this time next week, my gaming world has pretty much been taken up with all the stuff I'm getting from PS Now. So I finished Shine S the Lightning Kingdom, and honestly, it kind of wraps itself up just a little too quickly.
So how long is that game?
Huh?
How long would you say that game
is? It's shorter than it originally appears.
Okay.
It ends up, like, it seems longer at first than you think it is, but then it starts wrapping up its story. Normally around when you would expect to be kind of the halfway mark. So.
So, like, when a game is, like, does a fake ending on you usually for JRPGs?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, here's, we're wrapping this up, and oh, there's a whole big thing we still got to do.
Yeah, except in this case, they're actually wrapping things up.
They're like, no, that's all we got.
Yeah. And it also, like, teases a sequel that's probably never going to come, which sucks because that basically still leaves a good chunk of the story still unfinished. So, yeah. As you can expect, I'm a little underwhelmed. But since I was finished with that, I was like, all right, time to go back to PS Now and see what other shit I can get. So I've got Red Faction 1 and 2, as well as Red Faction Guerrilla on there. I've also got Torment, Tides of Numenera, and Adrift on there now. So that should tide me over until this time next week.
Yeah.
Other than that, well, and of course, for those of you who don't know, a lot of the reviews for The Last of Us Part II came out this morning, and it is amazing to see the kind of reaction that game is getting, because I've seen people give it everything from like a perfect 10 to people who have like personal issues with the story, so they end up like dumping it down to like a 7 or 8. And that's only made me want to play this game even more.
Yeah.
Because when something is that divisive, I'm like, yeah, I got to see what this is doing.
Yeah, because you wonder where you're falling the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Versus everybody like, oh, it's 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. You're like, well, it's either as good as they say or it's fucking shit.
Yeah.
There's no, like, gradient there.
Also, something I've realized is that a lot of people who are reviewing it are people who only recently played the original or played the original long ago and forgot how it plays. Now, you've been playing The Last of Us recently.
Yeah.
You've probably noticed that this game actually takes, like, its action and it's not as smooth as you would necessarily expect in a video game, because like the gun aiming and everything is kind of shaky, and you know the violence is really like brutal and to the point and intense.
Yeah.
You know, the game is sort of trying to show you, you know, how much brutality that is required to survive in this world. Basically, The Last of Us Part 2 does the same thing.
Yeah.
And apparently that's turning off people who don't remember how difficult the first game was.
Yeah. It's very much not super exact. You can improvise a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely feels like this was the game that's very much influenced Uncharted 4 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had lots of like stealth segments where it's like, if you want to just go in guns blazing, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also just be stealthy and try and pick them off one at a time, and it's and this is definitely feels like a game that's because I get into a lot of areas and I'm like, oh yeah, there's also multiplayer, because this looks like a multiplayer map.
Mm-hmm.
It's all these intricate, you know, alternate paths and such. I'm like, this isn't really necessary for a single
player. Well, the other big thing is that unlike, say, with the Uncharted series and The Last of Us, your essential supplies are always going to be less than you will really need, so you kind of are forced to really improvise a lot.
Yeah,
and there's like a lot of crafting involved as well, because
yeah,
you know, ammunition and you know med kits and stuff like that are hard to come by, so you have to really choose your opportunities.
Yeah, unless you're me and I just fucking try and stealth and melee as much as I can, so I'm not using anything.
Yeah.
So I get, now I'm a little bit low on weapons because they've had a bunch of combat sequences pretty close together. But yeah, there was a good bit with there was like, well, I can't pick up this, I can't pick up that, I can't pick up this because I'm full and I'm not really using it because I'm just stealthing dudes.
Mm-hmm. But so other than that, reading, as usual, I started reading, The Shadow of the Torturer by Gene Wolfe, which is the first volume of The Book of the New Sun, which is a, I think I've talked about this series before and I came back to the series recently. Basically, The Book of the New Sun and its other series and what's called The Solar Cycle are basically like far off future kind of sort of fantasy stories that aren't really fantasy. But they're take off in like a feudal Earth, like way off in the distance when like the sun is slowly expanding. And so the sky is always like this permanent kind of burgundy red. And, you know, so like a lot of like wildlife and shit is like either gone or mutated. And like a lot of the bits of the old Earth civilization are here and there, but because the story is told through the perspective of the narrator, who isn't an entirely reliable narrator to begin with, it's always filtered through sort of the way he sees the world. So like, for example, the novel's called The Shadow of the Torturer. It's because the guy you're playing as is actually a member of this thing called the Guild of Torturers. Because in their society, they believe that torture is something that is an essential part of justice, and so they've got an entire guild dedicated to it. And it's implied, but not completely confirmed, that the Silver Tower, which is like the headquarters of the guild, is actually the ruins of an enormous rocket ship, even though, you know, like, there's a lot of details about it. Like, it talks about how, like, there's these arches like the fins of a fish that are that taper off at the bottom, that there's like a large silver point at the top, and that the inside of it is almost completely hollow except for the staircases they built inside of it. And every so often, these what they call windows that look into nothing, which suggests something like computer screens or something. There's a painting, what he thinks is a painting, that he comes across in there that describes what he says, a man in silver armor in a green field with a night sky holding up the flag of an old nation he doesn't exist, that no longer exists. And it turns out it's actually a photograph of an astronaut on a terraformed moon. Yeah, stuff like that. It's a fascinating fucking series. It really is. It's challenging to read, but it's definitely worth it. And other than that, Netflix. Also anime. I finished the second season of Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which, by the way, Pat, have you started watching it yet?
I have not.
Really need to get on that.
I know.
If I have to nail your ass to the chair. But, yeah, so other than that, I've been watching a bunch of stuff on Netflix. Some of the, like, newer documentaries they got on there that isn't Tiger King. Because, God, fucking Tiger King was just an orgy of just, I hate all of these people and I want them to die.
Yeah, I refuse to give that any viewership.
Yeah. By the way, fun fact for those who don't know, Carol Baskin now actually owns the land that Joe Exotic Zoo used to be on. And on top of that, it was recently revealed that the, for those who are interested about the whole storyline about whether or not Carol Baskin killed her husband, they recently discovered that part of the will that supposedly left most of his assets to her had actually been altered after the fact. But because the statute of limitations have not extended, in order to prosecute anything, they have to actively prove that there's fraud, and they're not sure if this is evidence enough to go on it just yet. So fun for the whole family. And yeah, okay. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And I think it's time to go back to some old historical trivia. Because we got kind of heavy last week, and I want to make this a little bit more lighthearted because, you know, I laugh. If I don't laugh, I'll start crying.
Hmm.
So, when you guys were in high school, how many of you guys ever learned about William the Conqueror?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know who William the Conqueror was?
I don't remember, but I passed the test for it.
Yeah. Right there with you. Okay, William the Conqueror was the guy that became king of the Britons right around the time when the Normans invaded. He himself was the head of the Normans, and he came from Viking ancestry. And he ended up conquering England and becoming its king. And basically, every monarch after him is related to him in some way. Now, the thing about William the Conqueror you need to know of is William the Conqueror was the phrase that they gave to him after he died. Because during that time, his actual title was William the Bastard. For two reasons. The most obvious, of course, was that because he was an actual bastard. He was the illegitimate child of one of the dukes and just managed to carve enough of a piece of himself that he became king. Also, he was called William the Bastard because he was a real bastard. He was a bit of an asshole, to be quite frank. And towards the end, it just got worse. A lot of people know the story of how, like, Henry VIII, you know, he'd been, like, a very strapping young gentleman when he was young, but by the end, he had gotten really fat and mean and vindictive, and, you know, there's all of the decapitated wives. All two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that old little thing, that little ditty you sing to yourself when you try to remember what happened to all of Henry VIII's wives. Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. Fun, fun, fun for the whole family. Well, William the Bastard, when he died, he is... Well, first we need to talk a little bit about how he died. So William died in, I believe it was 1058. Yes, it was 1058. Or it was 1085. It was one of those two. No, it was 10... It was one of those. Anyway, point is, it was a long-ass time ago. And he was at a battlefield when his horse reared up, and he, for all intents and purposes, impaled himself on the pommel of his saddle. See, at this point, William had gotten so fat that his fat protruded out of his armor because they couldn't fit all of it inside. So when the horse reared up, it basically got all the way inside and punctured his intestines. Now, he managed to survive the journey back to his castle, but he was pretty much, there was no treating him. Sepsis had already set in, and he was basically wasn't going to live by the end of the, probably not even by the end of the, by the following morning. So he did have just enough time to, you know, work out a will and everything, which would actually end up biting him in the ass pretty quickly because he ended up splitting all of his domains, and he almost like the hour before he died, his son William Rufus was already on his way to England to try and seize the crown for himself. So all of that's happening, and so he finally just, he gives up the ghost and he dies. And this is where the fuckery starts. So the first thing you need to know, of course, is that back in those days, when a king or a monarch died, they kind of laid in state for a little, for a period of time, right? Because you want all the people to come in and view the body, you know, give their condolences, and then, you know, they prepare, then before they prepared the funeral and all that stuff, right? Following along so far? Well, this was funny because they didn't really do good work guarding the place that he laid in state, because basically all the people who went there to view the body and give their condolences also basically looted everything that wasn't nailed to the floor, including the clothes that the king was dressed in. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. In fact, it got so bad that the only reason we know... We know that his body itself managed to survive to get to his funeral is because a passing knight of some other that whose name was lost to history apparently took pity on the king and decided to, you know, get some of his money together, and, you know, he talked to a couple of local monks and arranged for the body to be embalmed so that, you know, it could, you know, maybe stop decaying at a rapid rate. I should probably mention also by this time that, yes, it was, in fact, getting a little ripe and moldy. So this is where it gets even funnier. So as he was laying in state after they had embalmed him, there's the traditional part where, you know, in order to for a person to be, you know, speed onward into their journey into heaven, they need a bunch of people whom William may have ever wronged to come in and, you know, forgive him for anything that he did. Well, as this was happening, a dude suddenly popped up who claimed that when William was alive, he had actually robbed his father of a piece of land. That piece of land just so happened to be the land where this particular service was being taken place on, because it was in an abbey, and the abbey was actually built on that place, which basically said that that since this has happened, William could only be buried on land that he himself owned, which then meant that they had to do a little haggling, which meant they would also have to both compensate the gentleman for the land theft, and also the man would also have to put forward some funds to help move William's corpse to what would eventually be its final final resting place. That, you know, meant that he had to go travel a little bit more, and meant that he still wasn't going to be buried just yet. And as that was happening, his only partially embalmed body was still rotting, and at this point had started to bloat. You know, because of all the gases and stuff that build up in the body as it decomposes. Oh, you can kind of probably guess where this is going.
Yes.
Oh, gag.
Yeah. So, at this point, as they were trying to prepare the body for its final burial, they discovered an unfortunate afterthought. A sarcophagus, you know, a short stone sarcophagus, had actually been created especially for his entombing. Problem was, at this point, he no longer fit inside of it. Now, they were at a point now where, amongst for a variety of reasons, one being the fact that, religious rules and stuff meant that, you know, you could only keep the body out without burial for a certain amount of time. And also the fact that I think a lot of people were just fucking sick of all this shit already and just wanted to throw him in the ground and be done with it at this point. So instead of deciding to go out and find another person to make yet another sarcophagus that was somewhat larger, they went the desperate route and just decided to try and shove him into the sarcophagus they already had. Mm. And they did kind of manage to do that. And they kind of just managed to fit it into the place, just so. Like, it was basically like you just taken a lump of Play-Doh and you had to, like, shove it into a Spam can or something like that.
Well, that's a visual that I can be rid of very easily.
And, did I mention all of this was happening during the summer?
Ugh.
Yeah, so you got all these people piled into the tomb, you know, ready to give their last respects. There's a preacher up there getting ready in his heavy, hot robes, getting ready to give a sermon. There's all this heat and this humidity going around, and finally, the inevitable happened. His body exploded. And yes, exactly what you think happened, happened.
Thank you, come again.
Blood, pus, fecal matter, pieces of his digestive system, muscle tissue, it sprayed fucking everywhere. And it basically, you ever seen like one of those old Gallagher comedy specials?
Yeah.
The ones where all the people at the front row have to have like big things of plastic once he starts hammering away at those watermelons?
Mm.
Yeah, they didn't have any plastic.
No.
It basically chased out everyone in the room. Not just because of the fact that, you know, holy shit, I just got covered in this guy's eviscera. But as you could probably imagine, nobody could fucking stand the smell.
No.
Because you're basically, your nose at that point is getting a whiff of a few weeks worth of decay, fermentation, mold, just all the gross and awful shit that happens to the human body after it dies. The type of shit that would knock a buzzard off a gut wagon. That's the kind of shit we're dealing with.
This is the historical example of the exploding whale.
Yeah. And it's not like they didn't try to try and stand it, because, again, it was still a funeral, and, you know, the monks did the best they could trying to just burn up as much incense as they possibly could.
Oh, and you thought your job sucked.
Yeah, at that point, by the end, the preacher was like, okay, Hail Mary, full of grace, fuck this guy, we're out. And, yeah, that is basically the death and funeral of William the Conqueror. That has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
And this is why we cremate.
Yeah. Well, no, you couldn't cremate back then.
No, but yeah.
You do now. But yeah, okay. So, with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. Don't worry, we got a few. First, we'll talk with the two big ones. So last week, we talked about those two assholes in Buffalo who just supposedly wore badges, who pushed over a 75-year-old man, who then tripped over, cracked his skull open, bled out the ear, and they fucking did nothing.
What does that take on?
One dude was actually, one of the dude in their rank was like, dude, call a medic. And they was like, nope, nope, just let him be. Because you can fucking hear it on the goddamn tape.
Well, they said we have EMTs on the scene.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been charged with assault.
Yep.
No, it's kind of an open and shut case if ever there was one.
Well, you remember a bunch of the Buffalo Police Department then quit the volunteer program in protest.
And absolutely nothing of value was lost.
Oh, yeah, and they also, like, after the two dudes received their charges and left the courthouse, there was a bunch of other police officers applauding in solidarity as they were being led away.
Yeah.
That's about as self-damning as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've pled not guilty and released without bail.
Yeah.
So, you know, learning their lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the... from what the old man's lawyer is saying, like, he's in serious condition still. His brain is damaged.
Well, yeah.
So I have to have a lot of work ahead. Hopefully get back to health, good health. But, yeah, seems like they're probably going to get away with it from the way it looks like it, but who knows. But, yeah, we saw how a certain person reacted to this.
Because, of course. Yeah, he ends up being our asshole of the week 3 times this week because he 3 times managed to do awful shit. Yeah. So, amongst other things, he tweeted out a conspiracy theory from one American news network that the old man was apparently an Antifa provocateur that baited the cops and supposedly had a, quote, scanner to block police communications. Scanners don't work that way.
Yeah, so the tweet is, Buffalo protester shot by police could be an Antifa provocateur. 75-year-old Martin Gugino was pushed away after appearing to scan police equipment, police communications in order to black out the equipment.
That's not how that works.
Yeah, was aiming scanner, could be a setup. You know, reasonable things that the president should be concerned about.
You know, first of all, you do realize it's legal to have a police scanner, right?
People have apps for that.
Yeah. Like, you can get one at the app store for, like, free. It's not...
That's why cops try to get ones that are on different wavelengths. For their own use that cannot be scanned.
Yeah.
But then people obviously find ways to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... he's doing a thing where he watches some crazy people on TV and repeats what they say instead of Fox News. It's one American News Network, which is the people that could make it onto Fox News.
Yeah.
That were too racist or too non-credible for
Fox News. Yeah, also not expecting them to survive much longer after the Trump presidency.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, at least not at the... level they are right now.
Yeah.
It'll probably get downgraded to like a fucking YouTube channel or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we found out, okay, so now that, you know, the stay at home orders and, you know, all that stuff is being rolled back, we now know he's going to be holding his first rally in a couple of months. And he's going to be holding it in Tulsa on Juneteenth.
Okay, I want to describe what Juneteenth is.
Okay, so Juneteenth is the holiday that was created to commemorate the signing and passage of the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
Specifically, it's the point when it finally made its way to Galveston. Because, remember, this was before the days of widespread telecommunications, so it took a while before the news finally reached that point. And as for Tulsa, well, any of you guys watch Watchmen on Amazon?
Yep.
Yeah, guess what happened this month?
Yeah.
The anniversary of the infamous Tulsa race riot.
Yeah.
And the burning of Black Wall Street. Yep, that all happened this month. What was it, like a little over 100 years ago this week, this 99 month? 99
years ago.
99 years ago.
1921.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a good thread on Twitter. It's impossible to find it at this point.
Yeah, but don't bother.
It was pointing out that this was not a unique thing that happened.
Nope.
It was showing a lot of these that happened basically for about the last 200 years.
Yeah.
Probably before that too, but
mm-hmm.
Basically black people, like abolitionists, wanted equal rights.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. And when they would have protests, mob of white people decide, hey, we're going to get some guns. We're just going to shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would largely get off.
Yep.
Because, hey, we don't care about black people.
Yeah. And, I'm juggling between whether or not I think this is all intentional or it's not intentional, but he's just as much of a fucking fool that he bumbles into this.
I forget where I heard this good line, but when it comes to racism, Trump has a fucking PhD.
Yeah.
But when it comes to basic things like speaking, common sense and decency and empathy, he's a fucking 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to race, he is an expert on it in ways that make no sense for how he acts the rest of the time. Because
mm-hmm.
He's holding some events here that we'll be talking about on anniversaries of big things that happened that he is almost surely either he or his administration that's setting up these events is doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, we're going to do this thing on the anniversary of this awful thing, and it's mm-hmm. likely we're just going to shit on black people mm-hmm. on the anniversary of important black history.
Yeah. And then, just
I'm starting to wonder if maybe he doesn't have a mole in his entourage that is setting these dates up specifically so he can get his ass kicked.
No, he has Stephen Miller.
Okay, that's worse.
Yeah. Who, by the way, is going to be writing his address on racism.
He does not compute.
Yeah.
I don't see how this can be anything but a shit show.
Yeah.
Oh, it will be. It will be an absolute god-awful shit show. But then he finally wrapped up the sort of right-wing who-can-we-fuck-with-now bingo. He decided to celebrate Pride Month this month, which, by the way, is June is Pride Month, so, all that. By finalizing the rule that removes the non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people when it comes to healthcare. And I think he also did the one that, I think this was actually earlier, but he also wrapped up the one on, that protects, adoption discrimination.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the thing that's basically defining that medical care is it's all about gender, not orientation or sexuality
mm-hmm.
Based. So, male or female, which LGBT is in defiance of the binary there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, people on the right are not into the science that says there's more than just two.
Mm-hmm.
Orientations here.
Yeah.
Or the one orientation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The two genders. Like many species on this planet, there's a rainbow of them, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
a wide variety.
It's the flag.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just disgusting stuff that'll have to be undone when Biden gets back into office here.
Yeah, which, by the way, I'm starting to think that's the reason they've started ratcheting up all of this suddenly, is because I think there might be just sort of an understanding in a lot of the administration that they know that Biden's going to whoop his ass in November, and so they're trying to get all of this shit in as quickly as they can before, you know, they're no longer able to.
Yeah, basically undoing all of the Obama stuff they can and put up essentially
scorched earth. That's what it is. It's a scorched earth policy.
Yeah, trying to lay down as much shit so that Biden's going to have his work cut out to fix, like Obama had when he came in after Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Or then you go like, well, what has he actually accomplished? And like, well, he's fucking dug us out of this gigantic hole we were put in.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it seems like every Democrat that comes into office has to do.
Yeah.
No,
my hope is that Biden doesn't maybe drag his... Well, the difference between the Obama administration is now is that a lot of that stuff only was able to come into existence after the Obergefell decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't quite have the kind of, you know, barriers going in that Obama did. So
yeah, he doesn't have. He's an old white guy, so he's the status quo in that.
He can
sense,
easily go on, like, you know, Supreme Court precedent and undo a lot of this stuff very quickly without a lot of work.
He doesn't have also like the Obamas have said after office, like they literally had so much worry for everything they did because they had to do it perfectly or else.
Yeah.
Because of the race.
Also, hopefully we won't have a Republican Senate this time next year either. So yeah.
Things are looking good in that direction.
Yeah.
Still go and vote. Make sure it happens. Don't
like I did, and by the
sit
way,
here
I
and
will
just go by the polls.
Yeah.
Say, well, this is good enough. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. So we talked about the new we're gonna talk a little bit very briefly about Seattle. First we'll talk about what we have here on our assholes of the week. And then there's other things that are happening in Seattle, I'll say, for Heroes of the Week. But first, there's this one asshole who has been charged with felony assault after he tried to drive into a bunch of Seattle protesters and then shot one of them. I think they survived.
They shot him in the arm.
Yeah, so.
So not a fatal injury, but.
Yeah, unless they hit a major artery, which doesn't appear to be the case. But,
no. But he just bolted for the police.
Mm-hmm.
They were at the barrier near there where apparently I read a good thing where somebody who works with those kind of barriers realized that they fucking put it together wrong.
Yeah.
And that if things went a different way, it could have fallen on protesters and killed a bunch of them. And he tried to alert the police to this and said it was pretty easy to fix if, you know, they got the manpower to do it, and they just told him to fuck off, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care. So, you know, Seattle's in a great place for where you would expect it to be these days. But, yeah, it's this guy, Nicholas Fernandez, facing a felony assault charge, which he claims that he was in fear of his life. And it's like, you're in a car, dude.
Mm-hmm.
At no point in a car with protesters are you in fear of your life. Because you can just run over them and get out.
Yeah.
Most like, unless you're trying to drive through that big of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally too much, but that's what he and his lawyers are saying, but I believe the DA, the district attorney, is basically saying, that's not what happened. So hopefully he gets a fair trial and prosecuted correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But you also would not be surprised to find out his brother is a cop.
What a shock.
At the time of his arrest, Fernandez argued to police he had planned to simply pass through the protesters and only shot Gregory because he thought he was being attacked and feared for his life.
Yeah,
it was more likely he was the aggressor.
Yeah.
And although Mr. Fernandez claims to have acted in self-defense, our laws distinguish a person protecting himself from an attack from a person who provoked the attack in the first place. Given the evidence uncovered in the past 3 days, there is probable cause to believe Mr. Fernandez falls in the latter category.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. And then next up, the CEO of CrossFit has had to step down after audio was released of a Zoom call he was having where he started sharing conspiracies about George Floyd's death.
Oh, my God.
I mean, let's be honest. CrossFit has been called something a bit of a cult for a long time anyway, or at least operates like one. So I'm not terribly surprised this happened.
Yeah, basically saying we're not mourning for George Floyd.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great thing to do on something that can be recorded and made public easily, especially when you're – and now he's basically retiring, so he's probably rich enough. He doesn't have to do anything else until people have forgotten about this.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And finally, Amazon has announced that they're putting a one-year moratorium on selling facial recognition cams to cops. I did not know that they were doing that.
There's a lot of companies you didn't know were probably doing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've only put a one-year moratorium on sharing their facial recognition technology to cops amid a nationwide push for reform.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, if you want reform, say we're done with you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what IBM did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, the bigger picture is that there's a federal study about the facial recognition system that Amazon has, and it's not good. It's the worst of it's all shit. Of them. It's particularly doesn't work on Asians and African Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good for them, that it fails on them, so hey, cool. Do crimes to cops. But Microsoft is also part of the group that does this, which they have plenty of employees trying to get them to stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They also had a big contract with the military as well for technology. Mm-hmm. It's like, if people have to literally, I know they're billion-dollar corporations. They only care about the money, but you have to look at the optics on the side of people that you want to use your consumer tech.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Realize, hey, helping the military and the cops kill people better, even if it's our own people, it's not a great look.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's your own people.
Yeah. It's like you're helping them literally oppress Americans, your customers, your potential customers, and employees.
Yep.
Because they probably use this stuff in their warehouses to make sure they track everybody so they can't pee or poop peacefully.
Yeah. And next up, we got... Funny enough, we're actually outnumbering the assholes of the week. We got several heroes of the week because a lot of people have stepped up and taken the initiative in the last few days. And some of these changes are amazing. So first we'll start with Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand. They have announced that they're going to pledge over $100 million to various racial inequality organizations. So... Yep. NAACP.
It's over the next decade into 10 organizations, so about 10 million each.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's, Jordan's one of the most important black people on the planet, black person on the planet, but and one of the most recognizable and one of the richest out there as former basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
Basically built Nike up to where it is now.
Yep.
On his own, and obviously started his own brand, and is also huge. But yeah, basically, it's big for him, especially because he's made a reputation of not getting into politics.
Yeah.
Especially during his career, which back then in the 90s, it's understandable because politics wasn't the invasive thing it is now in all facets of our lives. But yeah. Good work on him.
Yeah.
And then we got a bunch of stuff that happened in a bunch of city and councils and state legislatures. First and foremost, from Minnesota itself, they have announced that they intend to disband the Minnesota Police Department and are investing in community-led public safety initiatives, which basically what that's going to mean is the MPD will more or less What people have suggested is going to happen is that they're basically just going to just do a blank firing of all the current police officers and make them all reapply for their jobs. And in the meantime, they're probably going to hand over a lot of policing duties to the sheriff's department.
Yeah, a lot of stuff of getting rid of these people because you can't, mm-hmm. can't just fire the bad apples. You have to start over again.
Mm-hmm.
And put more stringent rules and guidelines
mm-hmm.
that dictates that they shouldn't be, indiscriminately killing people.
Yeah.
Camden, Ontario, that's a pretty good example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did it 7 years ago, and it's gone pretty well.
Yeah. On top of that, they are withdrawing from union contract negotiations because, let's be honest, police unions are one of the biggest issues here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for the Minneapolis Police Department. They are basically announcing their first steps, what would be a transformational reform to the agency.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be doing a thorough review of the contract and drawing outside experts to be restructured, provide more transparency and flexibility for true reform. We're going to look at matters such as critical incident protocols, use of force, disciplinary protocols, including grievances and arbitration. And yeah, the chief here is saying, it's debilitating for a chief when there are grounds to terminate an officer and a third party mechanism works to keep that person on the street. Mm-hmm. That the police unions are probably some of the most powerful unions in the country.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they basically allow them to undo any decision like the chief makes. Most of the time, to fire the people that deserve it.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's like a good chance they get back on the job and undermine
mm-hmm.
The chief. And it's like, what's the point of a boss if there's a 50-50 chance, their discipline is not going to be applied?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, we're like in favor of unions, but when they're well-run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In cases where
this is just abusive of the position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, people have gotten more aware of the bullshit that comes with police unions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of late, especially.
Yeah. And furthermore, this week the Louisville, Kentucky Metro Council have unanimously voted to ban no-knock warrants. This is in reaction to the killing of Breonna Taylor.
Yeah, which is called Breonna's Law.
Yeah. Who was... had her the place she was staying in was essentially invaded by cops that were out of uniform taking part in a no-knock raid, which meant that, and I think it was either her husband or her boyfriend or whoever was there with her at the time.
Boyfriend.
Yeah. Got the gun and started shooting at them because, they're ununiformed police officers. For all he knew, they could have just been breaking into the house to steal shit.
Yeah.
And
attempted drug sting.
Yeah. And apparently, I'm still not entirely clear if she was killed while she was sleeping or if she got up and they killed her and she was found in the hallway. I'm still not entirely clear what the details are on that. Either way, it's a fucked up situation.
Yes.
Yeah. The problem with looking at police reports is they often lie.
Yeah.
Like we saw what happened with Michael Gugino
mm-hmm.
or Martin Gugino, and they said he tripped of his own accord.
Yeah, we watched the whole thing.
It's like there's a video
was pushed.
So it's like, don't trust anything they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was an EMT,
mm-hmm.
worked to help the police and all that.
Yeah, and
I was gonna say that they don't care who it is.
No, they don't. And then, now for some real honest-to-goodness praxis here. A bunch of activists in Seattle. First thing is when all of this stuff started going down, the police department in Seattle decided to abandon a neighborhood, an entire neighborhood. And the the precinct building they had in that area. And just, decide just to, let things calm down before they moved back in. Only problem is a bunch of activists in Seattle actually moved in and took over the neighborhood from them. And so now we have the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle.
Yeah,
or the CHAZ, as everyone is calling it.
And they also call it Free Capitol Hill.
Yep. It's essentially...
I don't think they're getting it back.
That's what I'm hoping. But remember, yeah, this is the Seattle Police Department we're talking about. So
yeah, who pledged that they were going to stop using tear gas and then used it the next day.
Yep.
We're tear gassing so much, people that were inside their own apartments and homes were getting tear gassed because it just seeped through the doors and all that.
Yeah. Basically what this is an experiment in non-horizontal governments and policing, and it can either you know, burn itself out, or it can end up staying as it is, and it could possibly even spread from there. But in order to do that, that would require a little bit more than a bunch of volunteers. So, on social media, I saw a lot of people hyping this up as, like, this was the next new example of the Paris Commune, except, well, for one thing, the people in the Paris Commune actually got a whole bunch of the French National Guard to side with them, and, you know, they actually had guns and stuff. I don't think the people in the CHAZ are that well armed. Hopefully they won't have to be, but we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, this is something that hasn't happened in the U.S. in a long time. So literally people just straight up going and reclaiming a whole area from the police.
Yeah, and of course Trump isn't happy.
No, of course not.
Because it distracts from him.
Yeah, and it makes him look like a pussy.
Hey, these people are taking charge of the situation.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything.
It makes me look bad.
Makes me look like I'm a crybaby in my own bunker.
Yeah. And then CNN teamed up with the people over at Sesame Street to start a town hall about the protest that kids and families could take part in. Because,
yeah, they got the videos here. It's three videos, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A decent chunk of time, maybe about an hour, 50 minutes to an hour, something like that. But pretty good way for you to kind of bring up some of this stuff to younger kids. Mm-hmm. And we watch Sesame Street, which it's also pretty good synergy because they're all owned by the same company at this point.
Yeah.
Warner.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not the first time, you know, Sesame Street has taken on like really heady topics like this before.
Yeah. But kind of bringing it out of just the typical,
out of the show itself. Yeah. And sort of,
and they're doing it. They're presenting some of this like they're on Zoom calls,
mm-hmm,
which is kind of wild. Because they had Elmo and Elmo talking to his dad, which is I didn't know he had a dad.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like him, but bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Louie,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. Also, while they're doing this, like, webcam, like, they can't talk in their own home together.
Yeah.
That they have to Skype call each other, essentially.
Yeah.
Zoom call each other. He's talking about going out to protest.
Mm-hmm.
But in very much lighter terms, I guess.
Yeah.
That they're very sad and hurt, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, also another story. You guys remember that fence that Bunker Bitch decided to build around the White House?
Yeah.
People have now been theorizing that the reason they built that fence up was because this may or may not have been part of an attempted coup. Once, you know, the story got out that he was getting ready to send the military against the protesters, and then the military turned around and said, no, fuck you.
That was glorious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's basically become a canvas for memorials and protest signs and stuff like that. Yeah. Basically became an exhibit on its own.
Yeah.
I've been hearing talks that they're probably going to start taking the fence down after the end of June.
Because I think now, they already started taking it down.
Probably, yeah. Because at this point, yeah. And some protesters and the Smithsonian Museums are saving art that was put there when the White House started taking down the fence this week. So
yeah, they're going to save some of it for their exhibit about these protests that have been going on.
Yeah, because this is historic. This will be like having a piece of that fence is going to be like having a piece of the Berlin Wall.
Yes.
Just wait. So yeah, that's happening. New Zealand has beaten COVID-19. The last known case in New Zealand has recovered.
That's wonderful. Good.
Yep. Shows there is a light at the end of the tunnel. This thing can be beaten.
You need somebody that's smart and vigilant, which we don't.
Yeah.
Well.
And now, here's some good news from NASCAR, who took one huge fucking step that probably is going to massively expand their audience base.
They've got me interested.
They have officially banned the Confederate flag from its races.
Yep.
Good. Yep. So can't have any Confederate flags on any of the cars. Can't wave it at a race. If you do, security will probably either take it away from you or make you leave.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And sort of the wake of this, the only black driver in NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, had a big Black Lives Matter paint job for his car.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For this past race, because I think the primary sponsor for his car is a black-owned company.
Yep.
So they're definitely kind of celebrating these kind of long overdue moves.
Yeah.
NASCAR,
and
it's not just for racists anymore.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, you know, that well, maybe there's at least one person in the organization who would have a hissy fit and quit because of it. There's one dude, but he's a NASCAR truck driver, and nobody gave a shit
that
about
doesn't
him.
Really count.
The NASCAR Twitter account said they literally had to Google his name to find out who he was.
I don't think that was true.
I don't know who is running NASCAR's social media presence, but they're underpaid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a good tweet
Chris might be right. It might not be real.
Yeah, because I tried looking at their replies for the past as much as I could find. I didn't see it. It could be something that's doctored because
it's possible.
People are up for doing that. But I saw a good sports reporter that basically said for his career in the NASCAR Truck Series, he has never won a race. He's 0-31. So he is doing a great.
This is literally the most news he has ever made.
Yeah.
Well, he's honoring the Confederate flag by never winning.
By quitting.
By quitting with a winless record.
Mm-hmm. Because he's a little he bitch. And for the record, it's come out fairly recently that apparently a lot of the major drivers in NASCAR, including some you wouldn't expect, have always kind of had a big issue with seeing that flag, including both Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah. And I think NASCAR has been taking swift steps to anybody that works in their organization that is angry about this in such a way, because I think they've fired some crew members and such that have been like, you know, we don't like this. This is fucked up. That kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think people need to remind you, you know, you guys do know how NASCAR got its start in the first place, right?
Yeah, moonshiners.
Yeah. It came from the hot rodding scene, which in itself came about because of a bunch of dudes souping up their car so they could run shine through the state lines. Yeah. Over state lines, yeah.
Yeah, and outrun the popo.
And then a bunch of them decided, hey, you know, let's try and race each other. And that's literally how – because they're stock cars. It's literally called the North American Stock Car Association. Like,
Breaking the law for Coors, which is crazy to think about at this point.
Yeah.
Anybody wants it that bad, you can risk getting arrested for it.
Well, yeah.
Coors is not that bad. Sorry.
A&E – the channel A&E has canceled Live PD amid George Floyd protests. If you're wondering what Live PD is
it's one of those police camera, like they go on routes and crap.
Docu-series kind of thing.
One of those things you used to see all the time on the Fox Network.
Mm-hmm. Shirtless Drunken Beer Stooges.
And on True TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, like Fox's most extreme car chases, that type of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Series that just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Mm. Yeah. And finally, yes, Cops, which has been on the air for, I think, 33 years now.
Speaking of Shirtless Drunken Beer Stooges.
Has finally been fucking canceled by the Paramount Network.
Yeah. This is the start of it, because there's a lot of cop shows that make them out to be perfect people, and it's like this.
Who here, raise your hand if you think Brooklyn Nine-Nine is going to survive by this time next year.
No.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that, too.
Yeah. I could see it.
Who here thinks that Zootopia might never get a sequel now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cops is a particularly pernicious influence, because I don't know if any of you guys have ever like gone back and watched like really old episodes of Cops, like back like in the late 80s and early 90s when it started.
Yeah, they were bad.
You can see and then compare them to like more recent episodes, and you can almost watch like in front of you a slow timeline of the slow militarization of policing in America.
Mm-hmm.
And how the tactics have changed so aggressively.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that show in itself has had an influence on it, because now all of a sudden your regular police officer suddenly becomes a TV star and he wants to act the part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you see other cops watch the show and they're like, oh, I got to do that too.
Yeah.
Even for shit that doesn't need it.
Yeah. And all of this because, you know, Fox wanted something cheap that they could put on, you know, in the afternoon, in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally how Cops came into existence.
Yeah.
On top of all that, we got a bunch of statues that came down.
Oh yes.
So, UK slave trader Edward Colston, his statue was dumped into Bristol Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Good place for it.
Which got fished back out. Mm-hmm. By the Scouts?
Yeah.
Because he's a founder of the Scouts in the UK?
Yep.
I think it's... The nice thing is they're leaving all the graffiti on it. Mm-hmm. They're preserving it and putting it in storage, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah, it's... It's like, just leave it fucking down there with all the other trash. Yep.
Another slave trader, Robert Milligan, his statue was removed from outside the London Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was outside of a museum.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was good enough to go in the museum.
Yeah. A Columbus statue in Camden, New Jersey, and another one in Boston both lost their heads.
Yeah, they got the idea from The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, those guys apparently do have access to a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the one in Richmond, Virginia, that was ripped off of its base and tossed into a lake.
Yeah, where it belongs.
Where it
just
belongs.
Like his holiday. Mm. Did you see, was it Ted Cruz that was arguing against these people?
Yeah.
Saying, you know, he's an American hero, that kind of stuff. And people are like, no
fucking course he did.
He's committed to genocide. Like, what the fuck?
And he didn't even step foot on America.
Yeah.
Why he ended up in the fucking Caribbean, in the West Indies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can find it here for him defending himself on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
God, he tweets too much.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to turn this all into a gotcha on the left.
Yeah, and it's not like, working. Like,
people are like, you know, there's books about this shit, about him with his genocide, you know, enslaving the people.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't bring
historical records when he was recalled back to Spain.
Yeah, if they wouldn't bring back enough gold for him, which there wasn't much gold in the Central America there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there was also the child sex slaves. Yeah, they did that too.
Sex rings, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it all got so bad that the Spanish crown actually had to recall him back to Spain.
Yeah. Well, here's him retweeting Ricky Gervais. You know that video of celebrities saying, they're talking about how they're implicit in racism.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Ricky Gervais saying, terrible lack of diversity in this video.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz retweeted it to try and show that he has humor, but he doesn't know what humor is.
No.
Oh, he's retweeting a South Park video.
Mm-hmm.
Using GIFs. Yeah, he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here he is. Here it is. No, he didn't commit genocide, literally or otherwise. This is Ilhan Omar post this to him.
Yeah.
Saying, this was organized and led by indigenous people. Columbus literally started genocide against them. Mm-hmm. What a sick thing to say about those taking down monuments to their own oppression. Because he called them people that yanked these statues down. The American Taliban.
Yep.
Just not a great thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, no, he didn't commit genocide, literally or otherwise. He did discover the New World, which led to colonizers, some of whom inadvertently brought disease. Is your position that it's inherently immoral to come to America from a foreign land?
It's immoral to come to America from a foreign land and then enslave, murder, and rape all of the natives there.
Yeah,
which
and then
he did.
Said, and he ends, I'm glad my dad came from Cuba. Like, we're not, because we have you to fucking deal with.
Yeah.
Texas does, at least. And his second one, his response to this is, if you want to talk literal genocide, he puts this in quotes, like he's... doesn't believe genocide happened here. We can discuss the Nazis murdering 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. Why again did you oppose the House resolution against anti-Semitism? Always back to the Nazis.
Always back to the Nazis.
It's like he loves the Nazis.
Yeah. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced that she is wanting 11 Confederate statues removed from Congress. And I know a lot of people are like, wait, there's a bunch of statues of Confederates at the fucking... Yeah, Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, Beauregard,
yeah.
They're all there.
Yep, just like we have a bunch of military bases named after Confederate generals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, there's some... One of the political groups does anti-Trump videos. Like, hey, what if we named bases and buildings after Middle Eastern terrorists?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Camp Bin Laden.
No.
Right.
Camp Hosseini.
Yeah, all
Camp,
this kind of stuff.
You know.
It's like, yeah, that's doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Just like putting these literal traitors. There's a good meme that's, I think it's a statue, one of the Confederate dudes. Going like, if you don't like it, go back to your own country. And shows people with the Confederate flag. He's like, all right, it doesn't exist.
All right. Funny.
Yeah.
All right. So that is all of the show proper. Now we're going to start off with the proper show proper. We got a bunch to go through, so we're kind of going to try and get through these. First and foremost, Joe Biden is now basically the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party. Hopefully he will be the presidential nominee.
Yeah. Yeah, he's reached the
president-elect. Yeah.
And I want to say it's supposedly one of the fastest candidates ever gotten to it.
Yeah.
There's still like another 8 primaries to go.
Yeah.
Which is...
kind of moot at this point, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of Bernie's people have basically, like, you know, circled the wagons around Biden.
Yeah.
Because they it's like, yeah, we know where this is now. All we want now is just to get this fucker out of office.
Yeah, it's just we want some adult supervision, please.
Yeah.
Because we've got a toddler in the White House right now.
Yeah. Speaking of which, he has decided to move his RNC speech to Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, and this is...
Maybe the alligators will eat him.
Yeah.
I hope.
And the day they picked for it, I'm not sure if they... I don't think this one has the date on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the 60th anniversary of an infamous race riot in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah.
More of that great timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when they announced the non-discrimination thing
mm-hmm.
For healthcare, that's on the anniversary of the Orlando gay club shooting.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just like there's always a tweet to counter anything he says. There's an anniversary for every announcement he is having.
I'm pretty sure that's by design, though.
Mm. And as for my home state of Georgia, we had the primary this week. And yeah, we definitely had some voter suppression going on. Lots of fuckery happening. I myself had to wait in line for 30 minutes
before
I could cast my ballot. Yeah, I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, there were people, like, I think it said somewhere here, like, there's like 600,000 requests for mail-in ballots, and pretty much nobody got them on time.
Yep.
Yeah, so they, if they wanted to vote, they had to go into their polling place if it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that were shut down at the last minute. So, yeah, lots of great stuff from Brian Kemp and his administration. Luckily, it didn't work. They had higher turnout for this primary than they've had in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got definitely like a good challenger for the Senate spot that's coming up in this election. Biden won by a considerable amount, like 85 to 90%, I think.
Hmm.
Yep.
Which is not a surprise.
Nope. Yeah.
So let's see. Hopefully this election goes better for Georgia than the last one when Kemp won his stole his governor's
seat. Well, there is a good thing that came out of this, and that was the news that this time the Democratic turnout was three times higher than it was in the 2016 election.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a good sign.
That's because everybody's sick of the shit now.
Yeah. And basically showing that. Yeah. Basically showing that, yes, Georgia is slowly turning purple.
Mm-hmm.
So. And may very well become a blue state by the time the election rolls around. So,
God, imagine how the other states are going to be if that happens.
Yeah, Texas has been on the cusp of turning blue for like a decade now.
Mm.
This might be the one that actually does it.
It's going to scare the shit out of Alabama. Like, we got a blue state next to us. Oh shit.
Yeah. And Governor Cuomo over in New York has signed a bunch of police reform bills, including the banning of chokeholds.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think there's also one that gets rid of an ordinance that allows the police to keep their disciplinary records secret, which is good.
Yeah.
Because we're finding out a lot of these cops doing awful shit have a history of that shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, huge surprise.
Mm.
Yeah. You know,
the people trying to beat up protesters and put them in chokeholds for no fucking reason. Mm. They haven't done that shit before.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing was done about it.
Mm-hmm.
They signed 4 out of 10 bills into law so far.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see if they got them listed here. Let's see, the bill amending the controversial law preventing disciplinary records for police officers, firefighters, or corrections officers to be released without their written consent dates to 1976.
Yep.
So, yeah, they got rid of that one. The statute is known as Section 50A of the New York State Civil Rights Law, which is enacted to exempt police officers from being cross-examined during criminal prosecutions.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, that's a huge surprise. That they would want to give themselves a leg up when they get a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Some good stuff there.
Yep.
Hopefully not the last of it.
Mm-hmm.
So was it the NYPD that had that video where the chief is like, why don't you guys stop picking on us?
Yep.
We're
like, straighten us with some respect.
Like,
and he was like, yeah, dude came off like a huge baby. In a sea of white officers, by the way, there was not a single.
Yeah. Hmm. And like all of their arguments for what they wanted was like, we just want some respect and for people to stop attacking us. Like, that's literally what the black people want.
Yeah.
Like, aren't you seeing the irony here is what you want is what black people are asking for and you're just beating the shit out of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People in power want respect aside from the fact that they haven't earned it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, respect is demanded, it's earned.
Yeah.
You start helping your communities that will respect you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And the NYPD is especially not doing that.
Nope.
Yep. And next up, It's official. Welcome to the 2020 recession. It was officially declared that a recession began in February.
Yep, our second one in 10 years for us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And this article on NPR is particularly about millennials going yet again into another one.
Mm-hmm.
The first story is a woman who was in arts college.
Mm-hmm.
In Western New York in 2010 when she hit a rough patch. Grandmother passed away and ended up being a really tough semester for her. She dropped out, one class shy of her associate's degree.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment was near 10% after the Great Recession. She decided that being an art major wasn't a viable career path. She had to work at minimum wage jobs. She decided to drive trucks, which didn't pay that well either.
Mm-hmm.
She started driving school buses and motor coaches, which paid better. And she enjoyed that more. So now schools are closed and tourism isn't a thing. So she's out of a job again.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like, oh, going back into this shit. Now she's got to figure out what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
And she's talking, and I'm not sure if it's the same person, but somebody talking about, you know, I was working, I actually bought a new used car. I was able to save up for that. It was like a big life milestone. And then was expecting in the next like 3 to 5 years to get a house.
Mm-hmm.
Is pretty sure that's not possible now.
Mm. Yep.
It's like, yeah, that's the fucked up shit we've been dealing with for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's having things that you're expected to get as an adult.
Yeah.
To have it all taken away because of George Bush and the assholes on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is going to be just like the first sign of how this shit's going to hit. Mm-hmm. Because I read recently that tofu has started going up in popularity because meat prices have gone up so high.
Mm. Yeah, because meat factories are a great place for COVID-19 to spread.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, next up, Starbucks is going to be closing up to 400 stores in North America while also expanding their takeout business.
Yep. Mm. Okay. Yeah, they're going to be setting up closing 400 stores in the U.S. and Canada over the next 18 months, while at the same time adding carryout and pickup only locations.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are just doing that. So they're going to open up about 300 new North American stores, specializing carryout and pickup options. And yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what a lot of people do anyway. So they just pay for it on the app, go pick it up, hope it's the right one. I heard a lot of people getting theirs. They mix it up like the way that Starbucks is usually busy in the mornings. things get mislabeled and whatnot, but yeah, a lot of these businesses are going to have some big changes coming because people aren't going to want to go inside anymore. Crowds.
What's the first thing about a chain like Starbucks, which you can argue is a little bit oversubscribed at some point?
Yeah,
So closing 400 stores is probably pretty decent for them because that's rent that they don't necessarily have to pay. But yeah, and you know, with the amount of stores that they have, typically you're probably not going to really notice. At most, you might have to cross the street to find one.
Yeah. And they say here about 80% of their transactions at their nearly 15,000 U.S. stores are on-the-go purchases.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like people are already doing this. Like, why do you need the rest of the shop?
Yeah, especially right now since nobody's sitting around inside. So maybe that'll go back.
Yeah, why do you need the tables and chairs?
Mm.
Why do you need the suites there?
Yeah,
on display because it's not like a grocery store where you have that stuff sitting by the register because people are like, I could go for a candy bar.
Hmm.
You know, people are just getting their shit and getting out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes more sense.
Yep. And along with that, so those who don't know, Ivanka Trump was apparently going to make a commencement speech at Wichita State. And then Wichita State said, fuck no, and canceled that shit. Mm-hmm. So she decided to release it on YouTube.
I'm sure that went well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some real choice lines. Like her basically saying, you know, she's made her biggest improvements as a person through diverse through going through, you know, tough times and all that. It's like, what fucking tough times have you ever had?
Bitch, you've never had a tough time in your life.
Mm. Like, no, maybe her backup housekeeper quit once.
Mm. Yeah. And yeah, it's a lot of people were. Yeah, she's a. This has some quotes here. I'm trying to see where that's at. Let's see. Yeah, the associate professor of photomedia, which is us, they said, we owe it to our students to stand up for the right thing when and where we can. To our students of color, and to me, inviting Ivanka Trump to speak right now sends the message that WSU Tech does not take diversity seriously. Yeah, she's white as fuck. Mm-hmm. Our nation's campuses, she says, should be bastions of free speech. Cancel culture and viewpoint discrimination are antithetical to academia. Listening to one another is important now more than ever. Mm. Which is like, that last line's right, but no, your opinions are not. Doesn't have to be heard by all. Because not all speech is good speech.
Yeah. And let's see, after that, about a decade ago, a millionaire decided to go up to the Rocky Mountains and hide a treasure chest up there. Because I guess he was really fucking bored or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that he was like some map maker or something like that. And yeah, he wanted to encourage other people to get out and enjoy nature and enjoy
which,
adventure.
Which, you know, is fine. why he had to go to the especially, but you know, you hide a treasure chest up in the Rocky Mountains. You know, the Rocky Mountains can be very dangerous.
Indeed.
Yeah. But yeah, he put about estimated to be worth over $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some gems and gold and stuff like that in it. And I guess
my point is, someone found it.
Yeah. Someone finally found it.
Got a nice payday.
Yeah. I guess
after, like, four people died trying.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, he's an 89-year-old art and antiquities collector. Created the treasure hunt. It was under a canopy of stars in the lush, forested vegetation of the Rocky Mountains. Had not moved from the spot where I hid it more than 10 years ago. I do not know the person who found it, but the poem in my book led him to the precise spot. Yeah, a man who did not want to be named found it. Probably because he doesn't want people hounding him for some money.
No shit.
Like they do for a lot of winners and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Didn't know people were still doing that.
Yeah, that's generally what happens, especially if you win the lottery. Suddenly, all the vultures in the family tree suddenly come out of the woodwork.
Oh, well, I didn't know about that. It's just the idea that people are still hiding stuff for other people.
Oh,
find.
Yeah.
Well, he's a bored. He was a bored 79-year-old white guy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Rich.
Yeah.
They're not gonna give some money to a poor person, but not through charity.
Flexing real hard on geocaching there.
Yeah. I was fixing to say, oh yeah, I forgot about geocaching, which is something I have done on occasions.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of fun until the cops and security guards start harassing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now they do it with Pokemon Go, so, you know.
Yeah. You can't win. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It's shit, different decade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next up, you guys probably realize that Comic-Con isn't going to be happening this year.
Any of them.
Is it? Because the San Diego Comic-Con has decided we're going to take it to doing San Diego Comic-Con at home. Going to be taking place between July 22nd and 26th with online panels.
Yep. They're going to have a bunch of fun for
the panels. Could be really fun.
Yeah.
That's usually the best part. So
people will be able to watch them now.
Yeah.
There's a bunch that don't get filmed because they have to go to, they call H, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So you got to wait there for like a day or more just to get in. It's like, guys, this is bullshit.
Yeah,
to show the people what's going on.
They only have to do the panels once, so that's nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And next up, Major League Soccer is coming back. It's planning on doing a World Cup-style tournament.
Yeah.
But they've got an interesting way that they're going to be going about it.
Yeah, so they're going to be holding this at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex at Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the MLS is Back Tournament. Begin with a group stage followed by knockout rounds. It's been in the work for almost the entirety of the shutdown. But yeah, they just got this all nailed down over a new CBA recently.
Mm-hmm.
The players gave up over $100 million in economic concessions, I guess, for missing a good chunk of the season. But at least 26 teams are divided into six groups. There was one six-team group in the Eastern Conference, thanks to Nashville moving from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference, along with 2 4-team groups. The Western Conference consists of 3 4-team groups. So host city, Orlando, is seeded in Group A, with Atlanta, Toronto, L.A., and Seattle. Seattle and the Real Salt Lake, present the remaining seeded teams. Games will be on July 8th. Each team playing 3 matches. You can watch it on ESPN networks. Top 2 teams in each group will advance to the knockout stages, the final being played on August 11th. And yeah, they design these around top rivalries, having them in the same groups. So they definitely play. Yeah, so kind of a neat way to go about that for MLS.
Yeah.
Cool. So
also, they're holding a lot of these games either 9 a.m. or late at night at 8 p.m. or 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Because it's fucking Orlando in the middle of the summer.
Exactly.
Where because average high temperature is 92 degrees.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to Disney World,
either sweating or getting rained on.
Yeah.
And occasionally both. Because it's Florida, and that shit does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, HBO Max temporarily went and removed Gone from the Wind from their library.
Yeah.
Because of all the stuff that's been happening recently.
Yep.
And here's the thing. I'm normally one of those people who says that you really shouldn't go back and change old movies that were made like that long.
Yeah.
Movies that are not around to really defend themselves anymore, and it just kind of defeats their rights as an artist. On the other hand, this is one of my least favorite movies on the planet, and I've always hated watching it.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's one of those movies where I wouldn't want them to change it, but taking it down for now seems appropriate.
So, yeah.
You know. Especially if they can put up... Go ahead.
Yeah, they could do that, but they could also do what... was it Warner Brothers did with
the old Looney Tunes right, cartoons? Yeah, right. That's they've
Whoopi
actually
Goldberg
that's
explained the mammy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I mean the movie for Gone with the Wind just went completely off the rails compared to the book.
Uh-huh.
And you know, yeah, they're not around to defend their art anymore, but the author was extremely vocal about. the butchering of the story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least we do have historical records on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's the sort of thing where they could very well do like a quick, like little documentary discussion thing to put at the beginning of the movie. Like putting things in context and all that.
Yeah. There's been like a talk that what they're going to do is when they bring it back on, there's going to be like a something in the beginning to like sort of talk about the historical and you know the context of that the time when that movie came out and you know the source material and what you know what Margaret Mitchell herself thought of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like what Looney Tunes did with their collections.
Right.
Yeah.
As you probably guess, like a lot of people complaining about this has either never watched it,
yeah,
or wouldn't watch it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was on the service, so you know, like I think the book and the 70th edition DVD have risen like the top of Amazon's bestsellers charts.
Yeah,
because they're that.
Yeah,
dedicated to.
For the record, if you ever do get a chance, and I say get a chance because the book itself is long. it's like 800 pages. It's more like 1,037 pages. Yeah. It's a brick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it a shot. It's actually worth reading.
Yeah. Book, very good. Movie, yeah, not so much.
Yeah. That's not to say that there aren't problematic parts of Gone with the Wind, the book, because remember, this is written by a woman in Atlanta in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. So, that's going to come through.
Yeah, there's context there.
But it's actually really well written. So,
yep.
Yeah, and let's see, what else? Russell Westbrook. Westbrook will be executive producing a docuseries about the Tulsa Race Massacre, which we've brought up a couple times already.
Yeah.
Because weirdly enough, that whole event is very underrepresented in media.
Yeah, there's a lot of those events.
So much so that, when people talk about it, it's like historical trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody knew this awful thing happened.
Yeah, when you watch that first episode of The Watchmen.
Yeah, people are thinking, they make this up? They didn't make this up. I didn't know this actually happened.
For it to not be a thing that's in, your history book.
Mm. No, it totally happened. And it was as bad as they show it in the show, if not worse. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a thing that, these sorts of stories of events should be publicized more in these sorts of ways, because there's plenty of them out there that never make it to your history book. It's pretty ridiculous. Even up here in the north, a lot of stuff does not get talked about at all.
Mm-hmm.
It probably depends upon your teacher.
Yep.
Whether they're probably a black teacher that would be more interested in opening your eyes to things that happened here versus what you probably got, Brandon, which was a lot of glossing over the bad parts of the Confederacy.
Well, you have to also understand that a lot of my teachers were part of a multiple generation of being taught that stuff. So at the time they taught it, they didn't realize that they were basically speaking a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and probably the sort of books you got were very much tailored to that kind of.
Well, yeah, because that whole campaign was already well into motion by the time the book was published in 1936. So,
yeah
it's the sort of thing that there's a lot of work has to be done at the educational level to get kids knowing about this stuff.
Yeah,
because I saw a good tweet that somebody said is in Germany they don't have Hitler statues all over the place. They just learn about it in school.
Yeah,
they don't celebrate Hitler. Well, there's some people that do, but they don't fucking make it that obvious.
Mm.
But kids learn extensively about the Holocaust and all that shit that happened.
Mm. Yeah.
So that hopefully they never repeat it.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we finally got the trailer for Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Mm. Yeah, which looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely a Bill and Ted movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's.
These dudes are middle aged now, but they're still the same dudes.
Yeah, it's like they were supposed to make a song that's united the world.
Yeah, and they're still
And it's like they're, they once played for the entire world, mm-hmm. and now they play for 40 people.
Yep.
They're mostly there
for a club.
At a club where they're mostly there for $2 taco night.
Mm hmm.
What happened to you guys and all that. So they use their telephone booth, which is a hell of a thing to still have, as the means of getting around, go into the future and try and steal the song from their future selves.
Mm-hmm.
Or they find her in prison.
Yep.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those very, very entertaining movies.
Oh, yeah.
That you will have to turn your brain off to enjoy, but still.
Yeah, and they're bringing some dudes from the old movies back, too, other than, those two. So,
yeah. Also, it's weird that they don't list a date. They list summer 2020, and it's like, it's fucking summer now. What's so up in the air for when they're going to actually get that movie out there? But
it could be sometime in September.
Yeah.
Which is still summer, but... Yeah.
October. I mean, fall doesn't really happen until like October. So,
yeah, but it seems like there's movies like this where it's like, we don't know. We're just now putting our first trailer here, and the movie come out at any point. But then there's like Tenet, which is like, we're fucking out July 12th or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and it's even they've been saying like we're out. Like basically a month from now. Mm. They've been saying that since the entire shutdown happened.
Mm.
And it seems like they might actually hit that.
Yeah.
Seems like they're...
If people start going to the theaters again, then yeah, maybe. But
yeah,
they might be leaving themselves open for that, you know, eventuality. It's like if they don't see theater numbers starting to go up, they might just go straight to streaming, which is probably likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I've seen some states talking about like, oh, my movie theaters might start opening up like this week or next,
yeah,
maybe, but no real guarantees. Especially, I imagine they would like to see other movies come out first and see how they do.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Be like, oh shit, they're not getting much at all.
Yep,
we should push this.
Yeah,
to when more people can go.
Mm-hmm. All right, I do believe we got ourselves a show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. So, amongst other things, we'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, a comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You can have a link at it there in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, we got our stuff on TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait a little while. We'll be on there eventually. And, of course, if the recent events have gotten you interested or fired up or whatever, we got some links to some various organizations that support the cause. If you would like to donate money or your time to them, please do. And with that, I do believe we're going to wrap it up there. So with that, I have been your host with the most, Brian Perkins, and for Felipe Pondinalpo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logie. Good night, sleep tight. It is really hot out there.
Yes.